Nobody wants to sit up front. So I'm going to move closer to him. Y'all might want to move back a little bit. I get where I want everybody to hear me. And they're sending the Baptist church to move back. It's obvious the back ain't moving front one. This way. I had a good Bible study this week with myself, and I thought, I want to share this with the church. I don't want you guys to miss this. And actually, it's entitled, What Was Missing? What Was Missing? We just came through Easter like a storm. Don't notice that? I mean, shoo, gone. And everything's already discounted and gone, and already starting to put out stuff for 4th of July. That's something in Memorial Day. And I thought, you know, the disciples missed it too. Do you know that? The disciples were there the whole week of the crucifixion, the whole week of the upper room. They missed it, Greg. You know when they got it? After the resurrection. But I can say this, at least they got it before it's too late. Right? But I want to read two passages with you, and then I'll get you to two or three quick things. We have a business meeting tonight, and I thought, business meeting first, and I thought, nah, that'd be horrible. Let's preach first. Then we'll be ready for a business meeting, right? Matthew 16. Matthew 16. There's two questions that Jesus asked in the Scripture that I'll read to you. Now, I'm going to read to you Matthew, and then we're going to read from Mark. But Jesus asked two questions. These are the most important questions in your life. You'll not have any questions more important than these two questions. The first one, if you will, Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked the disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, Now here's the most important question I think ever in your life. Whom say ye that I am? Not what everybody else is saying, but what do you say? Now listen, that's a real important question. You've been raised and you've watched television and you've been in Bible schools and you've seen documentaries and we've had the Bible now. They said it was the most watched TV show in all time and everybody's all up on the Bible. But I'm asking you, who do you say He is? Now, here's how Peter answered. Verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Why is that important and say you're Jesus? Because Christ is what? What's the word Christ mean? Huh? Messiah? Anybody else? Christ? Chosen one? But what else did He say? Thou art the Christ, the what? Can I help you to not understand something? The whole world agrees that there's a Jesus. Muslim faith, Buddha faith, every religion in the world do not deny that there's a Jesus. Even satanic worship believes in Jesus. The difference is they deny Him being the Son of God. Peter answered this question right. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. If I said I believe in Jesus, that would be enough, right? Look at this verse, 17. Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. We can have Bible studies for kids. We can go on mission trips. But until the Holy Spirit reveals to a person who Jesus is and their condition, you'll never see that person saved.
Amen.
The sad thing is, people take classes and people learn ways of manipulating people into making decisions. That will not work. The only reason Peter could answer that question was because the Spirit of God had revealed that to him. Now, you say, okay, let's move to the next question. No, because I'm going to show you how Peter missed it. He said, no, he got it. No, he missed it. Verse 18. I said to thee, thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not rebel against it. I will give unto thee the key of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charge the disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, chief priests, scribes, and be killed and raised again the third day. Now look at me a second. Don't go ahead of me. Peter believed he was Jesus the Christ. 2 years he's been with Jesus. Now, this is the last year with Jesus, and Peter finds out from Jesus now that he's going to die, Jesus is going to die, and he's going to rise again the third day. He just now tells him this. He just now let him in on it for the first time. Look what happened, verse 22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Then far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But he turned and said unto Peter, what? Why? Because Peter didn't get it. Peter got that he was Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. But when he said, "I've got to die and I've got to be crucified by the scribes and the Pharisees, and 3 days I'm going to rise again," Peter said, "We need to talk, Jesus. This can't happen. Not to Jesus the Christ, who's going to set up his kingdom." And see, everybody's looking for the Jesus to make peace in the world. But before that Jesus came or would come, this Jesus, the Savior, had to die on the cross and rise from the grave. Y'all with me? But Peter dismissed it. The Spirit revealed to him that this is really him. But when it came down to it, Peter missed it. And Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." Now, go with me to Mark chapter 10. It gets better. This is just a few, probably weeks, maybe months later. Mark chapter 10. This is my Bible study. And it really aggravated me, Dale, when I read it, because I'm like, what's wrong with these two guys? Then I realized, that's every one of us. So read with me. Mark 10:32. And they were in the way going to Jerusalem. Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests, unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. They shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again." Now, he gets them over in a little huddle. No TV, no internet, no iPods on with your headphones in. You know, no texting, just them and Jesus. And Jesus says, "Here's the deal, guys. We're on our way to Jerusalem. When I get there, they're going to hit me. They're going to spit on me. And they're going to kill me. And in 3 days, I'm going to rise. And what I tell you, the first question that Jesus asked, it's the most important question you should be able to answer. What's the first one? Who do you say that I am? You ready for the next question? And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we desire, we shall desire. And he said unto them, what would ye that I should do for you? I thought it would be really interesting tonight if I wouldn't have done preached and got you there. And as you walk in, what's one thing you'd like God to do for you tonight? And have you write it on a piece of paper. I thought it would have been interesting to read what different things we would have wrote on that piece of paper. You know what James and John were wanting?
They want a grand spot in the kingdom.
Let's read 37. Jesus, remember, underline the red letter, what would ye that I should do for you? Y'all with me? Get me here. Steve, on target. They said unto him, grant us that we may sit one on the right hand and the other on the left hand in thy glory. What did Jesus just say he was going to do for them? Let me read it to you one more time. Behold, we go to Jerusalem. The Son of Man shall be deceived unto the chief priests, unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. They shall mock him and scourge him and shall spit upon him and shall kill him. In the third day he shall rise again. Yeah. Nina, what can I do for you? Jesus is asking. Ryan, what can I do for you? Mike, what can I do for you? How did they miss that, Betty? How did they miss that, Julie? How do you miss? He just says, I'm going to go die for you, Hannah. What can I do for you? Steve, is that enough? Huh? Do you know that when he died and rose again, that every need of your ever being was met at that moment? You'd have need of nothing? How did they miss it? I wrote it. Because I miss it too. I'm not Jesus. I'm Peter. And James and John. And we're right there and we miss it. So I wrote down a couple things. You might write, you might just let her go. But to me it's really important. If we're not careful, the church will go through life with Christ and miss what we're supposed to do.
God, amen.
And miss it. And turn around and be 80, 90, 100 years old and have missed it. So here we go. Why did... Let me ask you this question, Doug. Did Jesus know they wouldn't get it? He knows everything, right? So the first question I wrote down was, why did Christ tell them when he knew they wouldn't get it?
He wanted to know later on.
Okay, thank you, Dub. I put number one, because he wanted them to be responsible for the truth. When you walk out of here tonight, Joe Connor is responsible for the truth. If he said and heard, he's responsible for the truth. Whether he gets it or not, he's responsible for the truth. And we'll find out later, most of them did get it later. Sometimes there's an important part to sow a seed, today. So while you're driving down the road on Friday, you thought, what? I just got that. I got that. I get it. Now, it's going to be days later and weeks later and months later, and some of them are going to get a little bit at a time. But you know what? They finally all got it. You know? And they didn't get it too late. Or you and I wouldn't be sitting here tonight. Right? The gospel got spread. So, whether... I put this down for myself, Jim, yourself as well. Whether what I preach you get or not, I don't have to give an account of that. I got to preach what I'm supposed to preach.
Amen.
And you're supposed to get what you're supposed to get. And everybody's accountable. I like that. Well, he didn't explain it good. You better get a translator. You've been around me long enough, this is about as good as it gets. You know, I kind of pulled up in your, into your garage tonight and talk with you and say, we got to get this. We got to walk out here tonight and just say we didn't go to church. I got it. I don't want to miss him. I want to see everything he's trying to, for me to get.
Amen.
The second thing I wrote down is he knows we're going to have an opportunity later. You know, I wish that some of the things that I was taught 30 years ago, I applied 30 years ago, Mike. But I didn't. I've been trying to coach some people who's kind of where I've been, and I'll tell them some advice. Here, have people won't listen to your advice. And then when it falls apart, then they call and they say, well, what would you do now? Well, I wish I could have told you I never got to where you're at right now because I listened to somebody's advice. I did what you did, and let me tell you what you're going to do now. You know, sometimes you make mistakes and they cost you money. Sometimes they cost you a little bit of pride. You got to stand up and say, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done it that way. I apologize. Y'all with me? Everybody okay? And you learn those lessons, but you know what? Sometimes we're hard-headed and we don't listen. And these guys, I think, were like that in some degree. You know, Peter was quick to answer and Thomas had no faith, right? When did they finally understand? It was after the resurrection. Wasn't it? Some of them in the upper room. Some of them like 40 days later when he appeared to them the third time. And Peter said, I go fishing. They said, we'll go with you. How many of you think that some of them figured that out that day?
Amen.
I wrote this down. Your Christian life without the resurrection is like technology without electricity. We can have all the technology in the world in this building. Computers up there, TVs shining on us, blaring out across the internet. If you don't have electricity, that's zero. And your Christianity without a resurrection is nothing. You don't have anything. And so what they got was what? Before the resurrection, they really hadn't got it. That's why they ran and hid. That's why when they walked up to Peter and they said, you know him? I don't know him. I never seen him form a line. Oh, he was one of them. And he began to cuss and swear. You mean Christians can cuss and swear? Every one of you in this building's got the words stored on the hard drive. You know them. You know where to go to get them. Come on. They're right there. Here's what I want to close with you tonight. What are we missing tonight? We're not talking about the resurrection because that's come and gone and it's happened. I'm telling you, we're going through church. We're having services. We're busing kids in. We're busing more kids in. We're having food ministry. We're doing all stuff. Are we missing anything? What are we missing? Let me tell you what I think. I think if we're not careful, we'll miss the big picture. You know what the big picture is? Brian, if your relative goes to the funeral, if they don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they die, they go to hell. That's reality. That's the big picture. Every one of you sitting in this building today, Brother Coffin shared about sons. Some of you've got neighbors. Some of you've got a mom and dad. Some of you've got cousins. Some of you've got relatives who are not going to heaven today. Do you understand the big picture? You know that getting them to church is not going to be enough to get them to heaven? You know giving them a copy of Courageous or Fireproof will not fix the problem? They need Jesus to save their soul from hell. You mamas raising these babies, if they don't come to know Christ as Savior when they reach educability and something happens to them, a car accident or anything else, they'll go to hell. That's a hard reality, but if we're not careful, there's so many people playing the church thing today and going through all the motions of church and making sure that we have all of our upcoming events posted, that we're forgetting souls are dying and going to hell. That is the main picture. You know how reality comes to you sometimes? Sometimes it's a smack in the face. Sometimes it's a 60-pound woman spun around in a wheelchair. And while you're praying with her, an old man comes up behind you and grabs you, who can barely have enough strength to stand while he's shaking. And they then called your name to go to the waiting room or to the office to have your test done. And my wife has to say, "You got to wait a minute. He's praying with these people." And this old man's shaking and he says, "Pastor, sir, I'm dying. Pray for me." Souls are dying. At any moment, someone's heart has stopped and eternity is then a reality.
Right.
Heaven, hell. I wish it could all be praise and worship. But Greg, it's going to be one day. But right now, we better wake up and get serious. That we don't miss what we shouldn't be missing. The big picture. I pray that this Wednesday night will be an eye-opener for us. That we will see the big picture. And anything we can do as a church to spread the gospel to Danville and the uttermost parts of the world, that we won't be afraid to do it. It's not in our budget. It's in God's budget. This is what He wants us to do.
Amen.
We've got to see the big picture. Can I ask an honest question? Do you think sometimes you miss it? Did I read something that wasn't there that the disciples miss it? Did the sons of thunder miss it? When He just told them how He's going to die and He said, "What can I do for you?" "Well, you know, if you'd be all right, we'd like to have a nice spot in the kingdom one day." Nobody like that. I come to God, "I need this right now." And realistically, when He saved me, He gave me what I needed.
Amen.
To fulfill all I got to do from Him. And everything He's called me to do. If I don't know what I'm doing, I need to talk to Him and seek some guidance. I put down on my paper, "Steve, ask God more often about direction." My phone has ruined me. When I used to travel before I had a phone, I was not a man that would not stop. I was a man that did stop. I'd stop and ask people for direction. I'd stop and ask them about where I could find this or where I could find that. But now that I have an iPhone or a smartphone, I just Google. Or I go to Maps and I listen to the woman's voice on, turn left here, go right there. And if we're not careful, that's exactly how we're going through this Christian life.
That's right. Yep.
And we're not listening to the Holy Spirit. And we're not talking to that little girl that needs talked to. Mm-hmm. Or that family that's in the waiting room because they got another appointment. Or you're too busy at your shop to tell somebody about Jesus. What is our purpose? What's the point? What's the big picture? I don't want to miss it. I have missed it. I come back and get it again, then I miss it again. But I want us to get on tune tonight. We got a revival coming up. Remember what happened last year, revival? Tell me. What happened in revival last year? If nothing else, Calvin happened in revival last year. Calvin. Revival about Calvin? It was last year to me. Calvin has turned his life to God and he's letting God use him. And you know what? I want a bigger revival than Calvin.
Amen. Amen.
You? But you've got to see the big picture. It's everywhere, Steve. It's everywhere. We'll get them when we get to church. No, you've got to get them while they're right there. Let's stand and pray. Brian, let's have an invitation. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, tonight for the Word. Thank you for opportunities you always give us. And Lord, help us not to be so blind that we miss it. Lord, I said and read all week about these disciples and how they missed it. Lord, as I continue my ministry, I don't want to miss it. Lord, as we make plans, and Lord, I don't want to miss what you have. Help my plans not to be so permanent that they can't change in the morning. Lord, I pray that you will always direct us as a group of people. And Lord, I pray tonight if there's one in this service that's not saved, that you revealed yourself to them. Lord, that tonight that they would understand who you are and accept you as your Savior. Lord, there may be a lot of James and Johns in here today. He's worried more about the kingdom than right now. Lord, I pray that you'll help them to get their eyes focused where they need to be. See the big picture. Lord, your will and this invitation is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
314, Amazing Grace.